Broadcasting on all frequencies from the jungle of death, you're listening to Babes in the Woods.
Hello and welcome back. We're Babes in the Woods. Today we are talking about the shittiest jobs in genre. All the jobs that nobody else wants, and yet our heroes always end up taking. With me today again, we have Nyssa, and we have Lindsay.
Howdy, y'all.
I'm Rachel. So, how about we start this off here? Shittiest jobs in genre. Go.
You know, when you're talking about shitty jobs in genre, I think you're talking about a really interesting trope that has to do with the way that makers of media have come to understand that people in real life are dissatisfied with their jobs. It's a cool way to make you connect with heroic protagonists that you might not otherwise
connect with. It makes the escapism element more direct also. Like, you're escaping from your life watching this guy escape from his life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Very interesting. And
I think that's a very big part of it.
And it's also, it makes the, you know, there's the aspect where you need to suspend your disbelief because their jobs are shitty. You have this initial connection that I think allows you to, you know, be ready for, like, the adventure to come. You're more willing to accept it because there is this thing that is fundamentally wrong in their lives.
It grounds in reality, too. I mean, not only does it make them instantly sympathetic, but it makes you feel like this could happen in real life.
Right, it gives you a jumping off point, like.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start out, I mean, we could start talking about how we, some of our favorite characters have some really, really shitty jobs. And a lot of them are women.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, I think that in terms of our generation of women, though I do know it comes back to Buffy for me a lot frequently.
Yeah.
We have to talk about Buffy. Her mom dies. Does she complete college?
No, she drops out.
She drops out of college.
Yeah.
And then she has to work at the Chicken Shack. I actually think that were Buffy go on today, Joss might have her take the Chicken Shack job even if she had finished college, you know, to talk about. I think that, you know, all of the examples we're going to give are going to be relative, and they're going to be very time-specific in some ways, era-specific. So Buffy's dropping out and taking the job was very, like, late 90s, early 2000s appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, what would be interesting to see, like, new writers and media makers explore in genre now would be the aspects of underemployment.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but Buffy's Chicken Shack job is maybe the most depressing job I've ever seen on television.
Oh, God, it's so bad. It's so bad, especially when you've seen her have so much power in other situations, and suddenly she's in a position where she's making minimum wage, and she's just miserable in general with her life, too.
And that hat, and she's having sad, terrible sex with Spike up against the Chicken Shack's greasy wall.
Oh, yeah, that's disgusting, too.
It's just, like, the thing is, another point I'd make about it is that when I was first watching Buffy all the way through, I was totally a Spike fan, and I was totally into Buffy's misery, because, again, it reflected my own misery. And so I was like, yeah, I want to have dirty, sad sex with Spike against this dirty wall. And now, when I watch it, I'm just really, like, reaching for some fucking hand sanitizer.
Yeah, definitely. It's just such a dark place for them to go. I mean, kudos to Joss for taking it there, and I know that he has said that he wanted to reflect people's early 20s and that kind of alienation they feel. But it's such a depressing place to take it. And also, it's such a culmination of all the way from high school when she's talking about how there just aren't a lot of options for her. This is, I mean, slayers don't live that long, because slaying itself is a pretty shitty job in and of itself. And so slayers don't live that long, so they don't really have to worry about jobs necessarily because they die so young.
It's 100% true. And then I think that it's interesting too that, like, was this the season where Joss started working on Firefly as well? Because Marty Knoxon was sort of the show. Yeah, was it before?
I think it's the season after that, but it's just kind of the build up to that last season.
Marty Knoxon, who was assisting in the show running at that point, actually helps a lot of Mad Men now.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually think that the darkness of those seasons is, it's interesting to compare it with Mad Men,
which
is also a show that in many ways is about the quiet desperation of ordinary life. With Buffy, it's harder in some ways to watch her struggle so much because you know she's so capable and so strong. But absolutely, Flumpy, I think you're correct when you're talking about how they don't, like, I think there's even a scene where Giles talking about how they don't usually talk about jobs with slayers because slayers just don't live long enough. to have careers, and then what sort of career accommodates this lifestyle. You know, it's just, it's very sad.
And it's kind of an interesting look, too, in terms of, you know, I don't know whether or not this is what Joss is going for. It's very possible, considering his reason for starting the show and going with this type of storyline, but yeah, that really does work for women in general. Women weren't expected to have careers. Women weren't expected to... And so Buffy is kind of, oddly enough, breaking the Slayer barriers, but she's also having all these questions that you have as a young woman in your early 20s. Like, what am I going to do with my life? What are the areas that I could go into? And you have so many more choices now than you used to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that it can be overwhelming at that age, too.
That's really an interesting point. Also, by this point, right, Buffy is supporting Dawn. Like, we've had Dawn introduced as well. So there's this, if he is talking about that, then it's also addressing to a certain degree what it's like to be a single parent or thrust into a single parenting role at the same time. And Joss is just so good at writing women and, like, making us identify with Buffy. So I think that's an interesting point, because I know people like to think that Buffy is just for, like, teenage girls, but he definitely, like, writes a nuanced character that, you know, I feel like most women can identify with.
Absolutely.
Let's see, other shitty jobs.
Brian Fuller has quite a few that he puts into his shows.
Lots of shitty retail jobs.
Georgie, lots of shitty jobs.
Lots of filing jobs. That temp agency, Happy Time.
Smile Time, was that what it was called?
I don't even remember. Dolores Herbig. But
Dolores, her big brown
eyes. Brown eyes, excuse me. I loved it when it turned out that she had a website for, like, cat fetishists or whatever.
Yeah,
that
really
was, like, one of my all-time favorite episodes. Just killed me. But again, Fuller is also part of the dual shitty job brigade, I guess, with Joss. Of, you know, you got your shitty job by day. George is a file clerk. And then you got your shitty job by night where you're reaping people's souls.
Yeah.
Right.
We're referring now to HBO's Dead Like Me, in case you haven't had the chance to watch it.
Oh, I think it was Showtime, actually.
Or was it Showtime? Oh, yeah.
I know,
totally.
I was shocked by that when I remember.
Yeah, I think it was.
And I was like, what?
I don't remember what Wonderfalls was on, but he does the same thing there.
I think it was
there.
On Fox, actually.
I think it was on Fox. Yeah, I think it was Network. Yeah. That was such a good show, though.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
Me, too, just because I feel like it takes magical realism to television in a way
right.
that it's never had really gone, and it was just so cool.
And it works so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually identify more with Jay than I identify with George in general, so...
Yeah,
I agree.
I definitely agree.
I've
worked plenty of
Jay
retail jobs, too.
yeah.
And, like, the overeducated, underemployed thing is, like, really identifiable now.
Exactly.
Although, I kind of wish Wax Lions would start talking to me. That'd be pretty great.
Yeah.
It is.
Even if they told me to do stuff that doesn't make sense.
She has a pretty shitty job in that way, too, in terms of the night job. Like, you cannot be... Like, I'm going to dangle happiness in front of you, and now you cannot be...
No, you can't have it. I love that video. You want a strawberry kid? You can't have it.
But part of what makes Wonderfalls so good, too, is the supporting cast.
Absolutely.
It's also... It's such a good and, I think, accurate depiction of family dynamics. Like, it's not
that
Jay is, you know, underemployed. It's also that she has this overachieving, like, two overachieving siblings.
Right.
That she's constantly
like, ridiculously
to.
Successful sister, her overeducated brother.
Yeah, and they've had, the thing that people always forget, too, with youngest siblings, and, you know, I'm an oldest sibling, so I'm saying this with a lot of sympathy, is that I have had more time to get things done than, for instance, my baby brother has. You know, like...
Right.
You can't expect the same degree of a set of success to be attained at the same levels, you know?
Right, at
the
same time.
Exactly.
But yeah, Jay is... I like her because she's sassy, but she's not... George was sometimes a little too sullen for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. She was kind of... And I think that was the point, is that she's a little bit more bratty, essentially, than Jay is. Jay, you can kind of see more of where she's coming from, and she seems to have more of an awareness, I guess,
right.
of people that
On
she's
On the other
murdered.
Hand, George is also dead and has more cause to be bitter than Jay does.
I was
That's
just thinking
fair.
That, Issa.
He also died by toilet seat, so...
Right, like, it's a pretty terrible way to die.
Yeah.
Although instantaneous, so in that way, somewhat...
And you get to hang out with Mandy Patinkin. I mean, come
right?
on.
Right? In
also,
what universe is that about?
By history. It's not just any toilet seat, it's a toilet seat from Mir.
Yeah, that's right? True. That was, right. Oh my God. Mirror feels like a really weird pop culture reference now, too, because that's not something I feel like people remember.
Yeah, did you guys right? see that that college that always does the cultural context for each entering freshman year? Or whatever,
oh, really?
This most recent one. It was really interesting.
Oh, XKCD did one of those.
But it's, recently. It's like Cornell College or something, I forget, but it was blowing up my news feed the other day. And it was little things
super
like...
super depressing.
Yeah, Bill Clinton has always been an elder statesman to, like, this Whoa. Generation of kids, and never the president. And I forget, there was, like, a couple of things, like, other things. Like, they've never had a physical plane ticket, which I remember the last physical plane ticket I got
yeah.
was my ticket to China. It had to come in the mail, because back then international tickets had to get mailed to you.
Right.
And it was just...
That was how my London tickets were.
I mean, I know that you can make the argument that boarding passes are tickets, but they're not the same as in they
it's
are not
the same
tangible
thing.
Objects.
No, it's really
and
not.
Even if you can keep the stubs, like, which a lot of times you don't anymore, mm-hmm. like, it's not quite the same.
But one of the more positive things that was on the list is that for them, Secretary of State has almost always been a position held by a woman.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting to
I
think
don't
about,
think I thought
you know?
About that.
Because it was just such a big deal when Condi came on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But Condi is a boomer, and... is not dissatisfied with her job in the same way that, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. I mean, we also have kind of a lot of, we've been talking about a lot of the lady folk, a lot of the women who have had some shitty jobs. There are quite a few shitty jobs by men. Or men, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, of course, I always want to call them Jensen and Jared. Don't ask me why, but Sam and Dean from Supernatural have a pretty shitty job in terms of they're basically unemployed and living off of fraud and always running from the FBI and
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough.
Yeah.
The thing I find interesting about Supernatural, I was thinking of it the other day, is that they're not exactly chosen ones. Like, yes, Sam is to a degree because of the demon, angel, dude, god,
right.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? But their families have chosen this path in an effort to
yeah.
protect
yeah.
humanity, and it's not that they've been chosen for
right,
it.
Right, it's
I
a
think,
family business.
I think it's really interesting, because it's just, in Grimm, you have a similar setup with families choosing, like, well, actually, in Grimm, there's an aspect of chosen oneness because they can see the monsters.
Right.
Yeah.
Supernatural is ultimately more compelling because... they can't. They don't have any special advantage besides the knowledge
mm-hmm.
that these things exist. And I think that that's what makes Supernatural interesting. And that's part of what makes Sam and Dean's plight even more upsetting. Because they're
mm-hmm.
so much more capable than people who have jobs. That
yeah,
are
I know,
better.
It's true.
And anytime they are injured, I get so upset because I start thinking of how they don't have health insurance.
it's really upsetting and scary.
They don't really seem to suffer for it most of the time.
No,
because
they're brawny dudes, and they just like
they're so
they
brawny.
Just use like cigarette lighters to fuse their wounds shut. That's how it works, right?
No, it is. You see them sewing themselves up several times. It's kind of badass.
That's true, I guess. Yeah.
But have you guys? How far have you guys seen into the show?
I don't know exactly what season I stopped on. I got annoyed after. Okay, I was watching, and then Dean came back from hell.
Okay.
And I was
so
like,
oh, yeah.
Why is he angsty? I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I think that's about when I quit, too.
They kind of cover the angstiness in season four. And then in season four, you also get this really big explanation for why.
I know he tortured people. I watched
yeah.
that part. But
yeah.
And I know
There's
that
also...
that is adequate reason to be really angsty. It's just, it still doesn't change the fact that they chose. It's. Okay, here's my problem with media when they do this. And I understand
okay.
they have to make characters dynamic. Like, I get
yeah.
it. I understand it. Not everyone just wants, you know, Miss Marple or
right.
Jessica Fletcher like I do, who are basically
yeah.
stagnant characters that are just doing the same thing over and over again. I love that repetition. I find it comforting.
Right.
But I understand you want a dynamic character, so you're going to do something that makes them change. But I don't like these things that make a character change so much that they're unrecognizable.
No,
to me, that feels almost like lazy story writing.
Have you seen the time travel episode?
I don't. The one where they go back in time, and it's revealed when their mom gave Sam's soul over or whatever.
Yeah, because that was the thing that was really interesting. Is not only is it a choice for the job, but even their like chosen one status has been a choice.
Yeah.
It was a choice by their mother, but it's like a choice that they don't make themselves. It's kind of an interesting.
It is interesting. And I would say that one of the things I found interesting about that time traveling episode too is, and I know we had some knowledge of it beforehand, but the fact that his dad was not, like, you know, the original badass demon killer in the family was interesting. But in general, I will stick by my statement that I prefer Swag Dean to Nag Dean.
I can take that.
I agree. That's most of why I quit the show, was I got into it for the Monster of the Week aspect, and the overarching plot just got to be too much.
Because the thing is, anytime there is overarching plot, and I understand that this is making television better, it's making us pay more attention, but my problem with it is that in these monster scenarios, you have to keep escalating the big bad. And after a certain point, that feels incredibly formulaic and annoying.
Well, yeah, and it feels like after so many of them, they lose any personal reason to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like after, say, the yellow-eyed demon, well, what's their stake in it specifically?
Yeah.
You know, but you have to keep going bigger and badder, and it's just, it feels like a waste of time.
You have to have FBI trench coat angels.
Right.
Yeah, that's very true. I do love, though, I mean, to bring it back to Buffy in that way, one of the things that they did really well was that in that sixth season where she has her shitty job, I feel like that is really the villain, like, for most of the, like, for most of the season. Because, like, of course, in the end, it ends up being Willow, and in the end, it ends up being Willow as the big bad. But I love that, for a large part of it, Buffy's alienation is the enemy. Like, Buffy's misery is the big bad.
Well, that's more interesting. Like, that's
more interesting. It is. No, it's much more interesting.
The physical antagonist in these scenarios. And, you know, you just had so much, like, I remember, and you guys will remember me saying so, when I watched Buffy originally, I was really disappointed when she didn't die at the end of the series.
I was too, yeah.
And I realized that part of it for me was that I was identifying with her misery, and there's that part of you that, particularly when you're young and angsty, just wants it to stop, you know?
Right.
And I just wanted it to be done for Buffy, and I know that's a very morbid statement to make.
Right.
But it's been interesting reading the comics, season 8 and season 9 now, because I've realized that what he did at the end was so interesting because he takes the pressure off Buffy. You know, and at the time I was annoyed by it because it felt unrealistic to me, but that's only, again, because I wasn't quite suspending my disbelief far enough in that scenario. Like, I didn't want to let myself off the hook. And so when you let Buffy off the hook that much, you give her the chance to have a real life. And it's just, it's so cool, the comics and where they've gone with that.
That's really awesome.
Because the thing is, the thing about shitty jobs, the other thing about, for instance, your Ellen Ripley, is that you have a person that's thrust into a position that is far beyond their capability, and far beyond also their resources at hand, right?
Right.
And that's often what you feel in real life and adult life as well, particularly during the recession, is that you are understaffed, you are underassisted, there are not the resources at hand to make the task accomplishable. And so that's why I like Buffy season 8 and 9, is because I find them remarkably hopeful.
Yeah. That's great.
Anyway, highly, highly recommend those comics if you're ever in the mood. Just go peruse in your bookstore that got, like, the trade paperback compilations.
Oh, I will very peruse. Nice. I will peruse away.
Oh, gosh.
In terms of, I mean, moving on, how much of it, too, do we think that the shitty job, obviously it's the escapism of being able to get away, but how much of it is kind of them moving past, how many of these people do you think move past the shitty job? I mean, that's the thing in genre, is if it lasts long enough, if it's like a television show like Buffy, or even in film sometimes when you see people kind of escape from those shitty jobs, how long do you think it lasts? I mean, if we really look at genre, is it always a temporary thing?
Well, oftentimes you are drawn back into your shitty job, but because you have this heroic aspect of your life, like, because you have the dual shitty job, because Sam and Dean are credit card fraud people, in order to fight evil, you know, it makes you feel better about it, and it reminds you that your shitty job is not your life.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not what defines you, and that's the other part of these.
That risks going very Tyler Durden right there.
Yeah, but that's true, I guess.
You know, like, it's just not... It's not everything that is, you know, it does take up 8 hours of your day, probably at a minimum, probably, like, closer to 10 or 12 hours, but that doesn't mean that that's, you know, what's supposed to define you. is, I think, right. part of what they're saying with all of these, you know, all of these situations.
Well, I think that's definitely a common message with all of this. It's like, look, these people have terrible jobs too, but that's not, you know, that's not who they are.
Yeah.
That's not who you are either. Like, you can be better than your job.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just be something other than your job.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even, like, you know, like, Xander has shitty jobs. Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have the what's the word I'm looking for? He doesn't have the outlet of being a sort of a superhero. Like, sometimes you know, he's definitely heroic, but oftentimes he's sort of inept. And I love Xander. I'm a number one Xander apologist. But he doesn't have those things going for him that Buffy necessarily has going for her, but we see that he has a very rich life, that he has friends who love him, that he's moved past not just having a shitty job, but also having a shitty family life. And, you know, so you have these aspirational characters also in the background and not just in the foreground.
And the thing that's kind of nice is that even though his job is shitty, it's something that he seems to be really good at.
Yeah.
Like, he seems, if I remember correctly, he gets promoted several times. Like, but his accomplishments just seem smaller because they're set against this grand backdrop.
Yes.
But what I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of nice to see with all of these kind of crazy big, because you watch something like Alias, and it's weird how much you watch her, and she does seem to have, like, this really great jet-setting life. She's a pretty shitty lot in terms of being, like, the chosen one, and losing her memory for 2 years, and coming back and finding her dad in jail. But it's kind of a thing where, I think we were talking about this before, where she seems to have this endless supply of money, and talking about in terms of the times that these jobs are going, I mean, that was during this big boom when it felt like nothing.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting how that changes, especially because one of the things that I think has influenced our generation, it probably has been television shows and films, where you see a lot of people doing shitty jobs, but having something else going on in the background. Right. Most people I know have a hobby, which is really what their career that they want. And then they work a shitty job to be able to survive. And it's not just like an LA thing. I feel like that's an everywhere thing.
I feel like that's an everywhere thing at this point. But I do want to say, I think it's interesting. Yes, Alias was set, you know, like was in that sort of boom zone, if you will. But I think much more now during the recession, we're seeing a lot of fantasy that has, it's removed
super
the
rich
aspect.
People.
Yes, exactly. It's removed the aspect of any sort of monetary stress because they want that aspect of escapism.
Right. Right.
So it's become much more about, you know, your Cullens. Vampires just have money.
Like,
it's
what
I get
from
True
Blood. Tony Stark has
money. What I get from Twilight. Tony Stark has piles of money. You know, it's just
Batman.
Batman has tons of money.
Batman's made of money.
Batman
also
is
rage.
Literally.
What's interesting in each of these scenarios is that then the lack of any monetary stress frees them from having the shitty job. So then they're just this hero full time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's a really interesting thing where I think it definitely has to do with what we're experiencing
in
the culture, which is sort of a collective depression about having having, you know, the bottom fallout of a boom market. So
it'll be really interesting though to see how that influences future generations. Because I mean, you look at like what we grew up on, and it's like, or even what we went to college with. You have like Firefly, and you have Star Wars. There's very much kind of the underdog aspect to it, and I feel like a lot of people take pride in like I'm kind of a poor 20 something, and people take a lot more pride in it, I feel like, than they would have 30 or 40 years ago. So that's something that I you know, you wonder how that's going to influence future generations when they have their basis for their childhood movies, or like their kind of vintagey retro movies their parents might show them are going to be like The Avengers and Batman, and like you're just going
to
see
even
all these kids raised on wealthy heroes.
To Grimm, okay, which is just a middle class hero, but he has a job that is perfectly aligned with his superpower.
Right. He just happens to have
zero
the perfect
conflict.
Job for what he
He's
does.
He's just a cop and a Grimm. I'm trying to think of...
He's a detective even, not just a cop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other, you know, like even Castle. Like,
I'm
a wealthy multi-million dollar writer, so I can help you with cases whenever you want.
Right, because I just can. And, like, even once upon a time, she's a bounty hunter, so, like, she can go wherever the hell she wants. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't seen
No, that's very true.
And I'm trying to think of other, like, examples.
Don't consider me an expert. I've only seen, like, 4 episodes of that show.
Isn't there something else coming out soon?
I mean, you've got, in terms of television shows or films?
I think there's a new fall television thing, but I can't remember what it is.
I feel like there's something coming out
that I wanted to watch.
Even this new Mindy Kaling thing, where she's, like, doctor.
There's lots of lawyer shows out now.
Yeah.
Like, even funny ones like Franklin and Bash and Suits and stuff, like, but it's a lot of lawyers.
I really like the show Leverage, which also hinges
My mom loves that show.
That's a fun one. I like it because
I started watching it, this is gonna sound ridiculous, but I started watching it because I was happy to see that the less attractive lady from, what's that British show, dude?
Coupling.
That Lindsay from Angel. And that Voodoo Tatum from Friday Night Lights all had found work. And I was just so...
Voodoo, I forgot that was happening. I was like, I kept looking at him being like, why do I know you? I know you for something. You're Voodoo Tatum, that's right.
I was like, I am so happy you all have jobs. And then I'm watching the show, and I will confess that, like, I like it because it does have, like, the Murder, She Wrote, like, Perry Mason
it's
as...
formulaic,
repetitive, like, and there is no... Like, they tried to throw in an overarching plot last year with some, like, thing... And, like, every once in a while, they're like, oh, we've got to go after this guy that killed Nate's son. You know, and, like, it's sort of fraught. But this season, they're just, like, okay, so to summarize the plot, they make a huge, they, like, just cash in, basically, in the very first episode. And they just have this enormous pile of money. And then they just use it to go after bullies and restore balance to the universe.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. They leverage their formerly criminal activities to help the good. But anyway, most recent season, they're just living in Portland. Having capers, owning a brew pub.
Oh my god, this sounds amazing.
Can we do that?
Nothing in the world is as comforting as watching Leverage, is all I'm saying.
Do you know I'm an extra in that pilot?
No, shut the fuck up. I'm gonna go back
I'm a waitress during in their like big reception scene towards the end. I'm a waitress.
Oh my god, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to be so thrilled about it. I love that show so much that I mentioned it to my friend who works at Turner. She's one of their analysts, and she was just like, oh my god, I have to tell my boss about you, because you're so far outside of the age range we expect to watch this show.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, I watch TV like an 80-year-old woman. Put on the NCIS.
Please don't, oh my god. I'm pretty sure I've seen every episode of that show. My parents are obsessed.
I would do Mark Harmon so hard. Anyway, to each her own. But that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, was that I feel like we're living in, because, we're all feeling so broke, we as a culture have extra made, like, being extraordinarily rich into a virtue instead of saying, I'm actually pleased with Grimm, right? Because I'm just like, here's this, like, middle ground, here's, you know, stop the war on the middle class, Grimm,
right?
Grimm. So,
like, look, I don't have all the money in the world. I'm going to have to pay to fix my house that some asshole tore up.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Well, it's kind of like, I love revenge, and it has a kind of genre aspect to it, because it's very, very campy. But
revenge
it,
is so
it
fun.
It is very much about the rich taking revenge on the rich.
Yeah.
Like, they, like, take everything away from her, so I guess you could have the aspect of the poor fighting her way up, but really, she started out pretty rich.
Right, like, let's talk about that.
And now she's pretty rich. So it's like, I love the show, but when you watch it, it kind of, on the one hand, it feels like it's really timely because you just have her trying to take down people in the Hamptons, and so any kind of, like, class friction is kind of there, and it's really interesting from that point of view, but in terms of relatability, you're kind of like, I don't relate to anybody on this show, though.
Right. No.
My favorite part of Revenge, though, and it is really fantasy-ish, is that she has some, like, samurai trainer master that taught her the art of revenge. So awesome!
That's awesome. I love it. There's also, I always like to claim that the dog is what makes the show genre.
Oh my god, I love that dog. But Hitori Hanzo, like, he's totally like Hitori Hanzo. Like,
it's totally...
And it just kills me. So, I'm trying to think of anyone else who has just a genuinely terrible job. I mean, there are a bunch. Frodo, being the ranger.
Yeah.
is a really
you don't
really
even get paid for that, like, and it's just
you
trash.
Die. It's slowly killing you. Right? You have a wound that
yeah. Right, like, talk about a soul sucking career.
Yeah, no kidding.
Then I'm trying to think of who else.
Well, I mean, you look at Game of Thrones. There are a billion people in there.
Literally, everyone has an awful job.
Everyone has an awful job.
Well, how about this? I've started to think that the only thing I'm getting from Game of Thrones is that the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages were intolerable. Like, that's
yeah, just generally
all I'm
awful.
Away with. Like, the other day I was rereading it, and I was to one of the many rape scenes, and I was I'm just so tired of this. Like, my tired old 29-year-old vagina was just clenching. It was just like,
I just can't take it anymore.
And I was like, I know I'm on my period right now, but George R. R. Martin, I get your point. I get that women are defenseless and that the world is terrible. You know, like, stop.
Yeah. You know, let it go. Let it go.
But that's another one where...
Well, I think that's also a series of problematic choices on George Martin's part. But,
Well, definitely. Absolutely.
Totally agree. But the other interesting thing about Game of Thrones is that it is the Game of Thrones. So we are, again, just obsessing over a bunch of rich people.
Yeah,
who are
that's
content
very true.
To exploit the lower class for their own gains. Just fighting over a stupid throne that means nothing to the vast majority of people in Westeros.
Right. And they say so multiple times, like...
Yeah. Well, we've talked about Roz before and how, on the show, how she's been kind of controversial in terms of how she's an added... We get this character that we certainly have a lot more information about. But she... Her being that representation for the small person and the...
It matters to her who wins.
Yeah. But, like, you look at her and you talk about shitty jobs. I mean... Working for Littlefinger has got to be, like, one of the shittiest jobs you can find.
Yeah, you're that girl's ass, and then later you got to suck some dude's dick. It just sounds
weird. Yeah.
Being a prostitute is... Maybe if you really enjoy it, you know, but, like, Roz is sad, and I know she's sad, so for her, it's a terrible job.
Right, yeah. And it doesn't seem like she made that choice on purpose.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Other shitty jobs in Westeros, in particular, the Hand of the King... Geez. Just being the Hand of the King. Just blows.
The Hand of the King is a definite shitty job.
Pretty much just doesn't work out. Like,
just blows.
Tyrion and Ned Stark, like, you just look at those two and you're like, I like both of you so much. And you have such completely different styles of running this job. And yet, you're both fucked. Like, there's no way around it.
It's a thankless job.
You can't fix it.
Jon Arryn, it's just going to kill you, dude. It's just going to
kill you. It's always the best parts of your personality that will screw you over in the long run. For Jon Arryn, it was, like, honor. Yep. For Ned Stark, it was loyalty. And then for Tyrion, it's love. Which really screws him over
and
in the end.
And then for Tywin, it's just being an a-hole.
Yeah. Which is, to be fair, his best personality
trait. His strong
point.
I'm trying to think. There are just, you're 100% right. There are a million terrible jobs. If I had to pick a job in Westeros, I would probably choose to be a faceless man.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
But I guess that's in Braavos. So I can't even have a job in Westeros. Like, I can just wait to be raped on my farm.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's
what's
going to happen.
Hobby.
Is the mountain is going to pull up, and I'm just going to be like, oh, fuck.
Oh, God, the mountain. Oh. I was just thinking about how we could kind of survive it in most aspects.
I feel like
of
it's
the
him.
Story.
I feel like he is the capital T rapist.
Yep.
The capital T, capital R rapist.
Yes, indeed.
It's true, that's basically his job title, like, let's be serious.
And that is also a shitty job, but he enjoys it, so he's out of the running.
So much.
I can't believe you guys haven't read this last book. I want to talk to you so badly about something, and you're ruining it for me.
I can't.
I'm going to reread soon.
I have to find my copies. My mom has hidden them.
Why would she do that? Colleen Clark?
Well, no, she took them, and then she swears she gave them back to me, but they are nowhere.
That's a clean
like,
man.
She did not give them back to me.
What do you guys think is the shittiest job in like Harry Potter then?
Oh man.
Filch.
Yeah, dude.
That's true.
Also, Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Well, yeah.
That's true. That's a bad luck job.
Oh, I love Lupin though. so much.
Whatever, he's a big whiner.
Also, being Harry Potter, sort of, like.
Yeah, being Harry Potter, being Neville Longbottom, also.
Oh, yeah, that's worse.
No, dude, that's better.
Because you don't even have friends then.
I
would rather not be the direct one that Voldemort is coming after all the time. I would rather Horcrux.
That's true.
Which could be arguably the worst job. Oh, I'm just carrying a part of the soul of the Dark Lord. That's just my job.
No, it's cool. It's just part of me. Don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm just a giant snake. Oh, I'll eat you, I guess. I've been commanded. Fucking new genius.
This I command. Oh my god.
This feels like Serpentor. Weird, like, laissez-faire, like, kind of... In the wizarding world. I feel like there aren't a lot of great jobs in the wizarding world.
Dude, yeah.
There are a lot of kind of...
I feel like that job market is awesome. You're just like, I want to be an auror. And they're like, oh, well, we have a demand for that. Oh, I want to
like, we have an exam.
Oh, don't worry, you're full-time faculty. Like, I feel like because it's a small enclave.
Could
community.
I be, like, a Hogwarts gym teacher?
Yes.
I could. Like,
yes,
that'd be
dude.
Awesome.
Dude,
that'd
yeah.
be pretty. I mean, you'd be Quidditch you'd be mad at coach.
Well, right? Like, and who doesn't want that?
Exactly. Do you think that the recession, like, any kind of recession would ever actually affect the Wizarding World?
You
want to
know why?
You gotta wonder. I mean, they do have their own monetary system.
No. Yeah. 1980s, and what's her face? The bad prophetess lady still has a job. The entire time. She did one prophecy once. She's a full-time tenured faculty position at Hogwarts.
That's true. I could pull that off.
Dude.
Could make one accurate prediction. Like,
I think we all have one accurate prediction.
Done, tenured.
So do you wanna let's you know decide
we'll
who has the
here?
Absolute worst job?
That's a really tough call.
Yeah, I kind of just want to give an honorary medal to everyone who does a bad job.
I do, and I feel like an honorary medal needs to be given to, like, Sean Bean in general for holding probably many of the shitty jobs.
Dying
every time.
Because I'll tell you what,
Sean Bean's
steward
in this movie,
of
that guy's
Gondor is
die.
Also a blowjob. Like, excuse
me. Hang on.
I am awfully tired. It's a terrible job. It's a job which blows.
Can we please not refer to all terrible jobs
as blowjobs? No, because blowjobs.
But that would
be
make them seem so much better.
And I don't want to discourage gentlemen listeners for providing their lady friends with cunnilingus. And I don't want to discourage ladies from, you know, doing what they want to do either with some penises.
No, exactly.
So
that's very true.
We're not going to call them blowjobs. We're going to call them. And we can't call them suck jobs either at that point.
No, it's true.
Bad
that's
jobs.
A little bit of overlap.
Bad jobs. Not hand jobs. Sorry. Sorry.
Just certainly not.
Degraded in here. I think that if I had to pick a single worst job. I mean, I might go with Frodo. He's just, because he is so perceptive,
yeah.
It's extra bad. Like, because he knows that only he can carry it even as it's killing him. And it's excruciating. I mean, and you know it the whole time.
I mean, there's also Sam, though, who can see all of that also and can help.
Sam's gonna be fine. Sam's like Rudy.
He lives a pretty happy life in the end, let's be honest.
I mean, that's true, at the end.
You just don't know that it's gonna end happily. It's the other thing that's hard to remember with Lord of the Rings in particular. But I mean, I might argue Ellen Ripley, like, she keeps getting drawn back in by this evil corporation.
Has
like one of the worst contracts, from what I can tell, in all of genre.
Right. How on earth is it still binding after the first movie? Like, I don't understand.
I think
like they're gonna hold her. There's actually a line in Aliens about how they're gonna hold her liable for the cost of the whole Nostromo, which is billions of dollars.
Right.
And
like,
her daughter has died in her absence because she's floating through space. You know, like in one of those like freezy chamber things. And it's just, it's horrific. Like, I think that it's a really interesting commentary, actually, on corporations and things. But, not that any corporation would sign a binding agreement with basically anyone of that rank now in society.
Although it is interesting in light of the idea that, you know, corporations are more people than she would be legally in
this
case.
Mittens.
Because she'd been missing for so long, they'd probably call her, you know, legally dead or whatever, so the corporation has more rights than she does.
True.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
True. I feel like I might say that Buffy really has the shittiest job. Not
Slayers.
I mean, you got the Slayers, so you got the really high death rate, really...
The initial dick move of a bunch of guys deciding not to fight evil themselves. And
yeah,
then pinning that
right?
on a teenage
girl. That's the other thing, too. I always forget about that, but that's the thing, is like she's really a proxy for this group of people who are like, oh, there's a lot of evil in the world. We should have a young girl fight it.
Don't worry, we have her superpowers. It's so rude.
I mean,
it's like the ultimate dick move.
It's so rude.
It's so rude. Ultimately, my major problem with it is how rude it is. They like there's this scene with the Origin Slayer and that one weird like funky dream episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it's I'm doing a funky dream dance. Listeners.
You are doing a funky dream dance.
Anyway, but they like have her tied to a tree. It's really interesting. It's obviously someone did their research on like sacrifices, like ritualistic sacrifices in Aboriginal and earlier communities. They've got her strapped to a tree, and they basically put a demon inside her to help her fight other demons. And it's a demon that then moves from girl to girl, because something about the spell that binds it. You know, like, I don't know. You know, hocus pocus. So
I really enjoy that you're...
It's so rude.
It is, and I think one of the things that's really makes it the worst job is that not only are you a proxy, not only do you have a high mortality rate, but they're typically... though she kind of bucks the system on this one, typically you die alone, you really don't have any friends, your family's kind of gone, and then on top of having her chicken shack jobs, she has her chicken shack job to support a younger sister
that a group of monks
created that didn't actually exist before.
Worst human.
So they've now placed this burden on her that she wouldn't have normally had.
You. She's a fucking key. She can suck it.
Stupid key.
Not that sucking it is bad.
I think we covered that sufficiently.
I give up.
Nissa, do you have a candidate?
I just really enjoy that Lindsay's central issue is with the politesse of the decision rather than the actual execution. Like,
if someone asked me personally, like, Lindsay Kronk, you as a consenting adult want to fight evil forever, there's a high mortality rate, but you get to be super buff and wear awesome, weird 90s outfits, and have terrible hair sometimes, but other times really awesome hair.
Yeah.
I might make that decision, but I don't want anyone making that decision for me. And ultimately, my problem with a lot of pro-lifers is that it is incredibly rude and presumptuous to go into someone's medical, like, life and their
decision
medical
making.
Decisions.
Yeah,
exactly.
And especially for, like, you know, like, come on. Like, I just... If you're going to intervene, then you have to intervene in all procedures. So I want to be allowed to talk to some dude who's getting his nuts, you know, the thing with the
vasectomy.
Doesn't work. Yeah, exactly.
Or to the ligature.
Whatever it's called.
Like, dude, you're getting your balls cut. Are you sure you want to do that? You want to have lots of sex all the time and not make babies? Are you sure? Here, watch this
video. Are you sure that's moral?
Let's do an ultrasound of your balls.
Yeah.
Here, make you look at your sperm under a microscope. This is what you're killing.
Thousands of lives in there. Then the speculum. I wish every man had to encounter a speculum just to look at it. I don't even.
I actually always wanted to go to you would have an anti-abortion rally and basically stand there with signs as well that just had sperm that was like, masturbation kills.
They already believe that, though.
But that's the thing, is they don't really. Like, they don't really believe
that. Yeah, no, they think that they can be forgiven for spilling their seed.
Yeah,
like,
and abortion is a sin
terrible,
that can never be forgiven.
That's because it's ladies who commit it. Ladies can't be forgiven, you know that.
Ladies can't be forgiven. Did you guys see that awesome picture of that old lady at a protest that was like, she had a sign and it said, I can't believe I'm still protesting this shit?
Right.
Oh, are you serious? That's amazing.
Dude, I
like
I'm gonna marry you, old lady, and just hang out with you.
Yes.
She's probably taken, honestly. Somebody that cool.
Yeah, dude. For years. But I would totally let her adopt me is the other option.
That's fair. I would accept that.
I would submit my application for adoption. Do we have any other...
shittiest jobs?
There are some plenty shitty jobs out there, or even the people who don't have jobs in various ways, like say Katniss Everdeen, doesn't really have a job because she's busy feeding her family and then fighting for her life.
And her mom doesn't have a job, and her mom pisses me off. So
right,
much.
Her mom used to have a job.
Yeah, but her mom doesn't, and her mom is weak-willed and terrible, and is part
yeah,
of...
Yeah, her mom turned into a catatonic Joyce instead of
yeah.
a regular Joyce.
Yeah. I think that we should have an episode upcoming where we talk about terrible moms as a trope.
I think that's a great
genre.
Idea.
I could accept that.
And
yeah.
then after that, we could even do one about absent parents, because that's, like, the obvious next logical step.
Well, that's a whole hero with a thousand faces deal. Like,
yeah.
That's very... Arna Thompson.
Yes.
But yeah, Katniss Everdeen's job blows.
Yeah, it does. And then you have to be a face of a nation that you, like, being the face of a rebellion that you sort of support, but really you just want everybody to leave you the fuck alone.
And you got a choice between a guy who has dad humor and no one is missing one limb, and a guy
yeah.
who's kind of a dick.
Who's
right.
all about killing innocents.
And your involvement with all of that you know is based on an incredible... leap of logic on somebody else's part that you didn't decide to be part of, like...
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I feel like the Katniss-Buffy comparison is really good, except Primrose Everdeen is roughly 5,000 times better than Dawn.
Oh,
in every universe.
Yeah. She's so much more useful. She at least has kind of, like, that healing nature
she
that she can...
Cheese.
Her medical stuff.
Remember in the first book when she makes cheese? My
heart
is going forever. I was like, I want to eat cheese.
With her awesome
also,
goat that they don't talk about in the movie.
What cheese did Dawn ever make? I'm just saying, like, could you maybe make some more cheese there, Shiny McShinerson, with your shiny hair and your shiny lips?
No, she's too busy shoplifting from the magic shop.
She's the lamest sibling ever!
Oh. Worst. Oh man, bad sibling is also a trope in genre.
She,
true story.
She not only steals, she steals from friends! She steals from family.
Oh,
worst
this
person
necklace.
Ever.
Oh, now there's a demon that wants to marry me. Oh,
oh my
P.S.
God.
P.S. As I move towards my nuptials, I want to do, at some point, an episode that has to do with marriage. Because there are so many, like, awkward marriage-type sequences in genre, and particularly forced marriages.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Can we address Beetlejuice in that?
Yes. Beetlejuice, Buffy, and there are a bunch of others that I can't even remember. And then you got, like,
yeah.
a weird... sexy tension in Labyrinth where she's wearing a white dress too, and
yeah.
it's almost like do
at my wedding reception.
I'm so
or
excited
what
for
will
wedding.
Be my wedding reception one day.
Yeah.
Bowie.
All right. Well, let's.
Yeah.
I guess we should wrap this up here.
So now that all of our speculation is part of this episode.
Well, we're just teasing it. We're just teasing.
We're teasing.
That's right. People will have to keep tuning in.
You'll never
Won't
know what
people.
We'll do next.
It's mostly because we don't either, but that's okay.
we're changeable. We're so changeable.
We're changelings.
We're flexible.
Changelings.
We are not changelings.
We
were not carved from potatoes or placed here by hill folk.
Yes, you were, Nyssa. Your name is Nyssa.
What?
It means you're a fairy person.
And you are mixing
you're
your folklores.
We folk.
I was just reading Ian M. Banks, which I'll do a blog post about, but changers is a thing. So there's that, too.
Also on Fringe.
So is that. Also on Fringe. I still need to get into Fringe. All right, we will wrap this up here before everybody revokes my nerd card over the fact that I haven't watched Fringe yet.
That's okay. They'd take mine over plenty of similar things.
Revoked!
You don't get challenge denied, Lindsay. Like, you do not get to do that.
No revocation.
But I've got
no
veto. Two
I veto your
revocation. One in each hand for double the authority.
Challenge denied.
Guys. We will we'll talk to you guys later on a later episode.
Good night,
enjoy
audience.
Your week. And we're signing off from the Jungle of Death. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.